Take a moment. We want to greet our guest. You can be seated. If you're a guest of ours this evening, we want you to feel at home here at Calvary Gospel Church. We're glad you're with us. If you can, we'd like to encourage you to take a moment and fill out the connection card. You hopefully got one from one of our greeters, one of our hosts here when you came in this evening. If not, we want to encourage you to get one from the kiosk or from one of the ushers. And we just want to let you know how much we appreciate your visit here. We have a small gift for you at the kiosk if you will return that before you leave this evening. If you want to give this evening, you have a number of ways you can do it. We have a receptacle, a box, a plexiglass box out in the vestibule on the kiosk. You can give there. The instructions are on the box. It says, give here, so that will help. You can visit cgcmadison.org/giving. You can mail it to our address, snail mail. It still works, as far as I know. And then you can text to give 608-719-3883. And if you are going to text to give, please designate your offering, whether it's tithes or general offering, or if you want to give to She's for Christ. Amen. So please keep that in mind. A couple of announcements. This Sunday is Father's Day. And we're going to celebrate all the dads in the 11 a.m. worship service. Remember, don't forget our new schedule. 10 a.m. is our first part of the service when we will be gathering together for teaching in the various classes, and we have adult teaching here in the auditorium. And then the second part of our service is our worship service and preaching service, and during that time is when that will take place. We'll be celebrating our dads. Be sure to sign up at the kiosk. If your dad or your husband won't sign up, you can sign up for them. We will be giving out gift cards for meat for the dads in that. So that, and that sounds funny, but everybody enjoys it, that's for sure. Sunday, June 27th, special missionary service. Missionary Mark and Bethany Harris will be with us. They're missionaries to India. They pastored in Shano for a very long time. Many of you know the Harrises. You'll want to be here for that. They've had a great anointed ministry there in India. They'll have they have great testimony of what God has done, miraculous works that God has done in their ministry. Then at the beginning of the month of July, we have Wisconsin District Family Camp. And that is from July 4th through the 9th. If you're going to attend, make your plans now. Details are posted on the flyers. I think if you wanted to stay on the grounds, it's too late for that. I think everything's full. Notice also on this overhead that there are two other camps as well, and they're coming up real fast, children's camp and youth camp. And there's a lot going on. It's a great place to be. If you can only get up there for one day or one day and a night there in the Shano area, it's well worth your time. There is such a great anointing on the district camp and such powerful ministry that if you can, you don't want to miss it. Amen. At this time, we have a very special presentation. We want Sister Grant to come to the platform. Amen. Actually, Monday was Sister Grant's birthday. Is that correct? 39 years old and still going. And we have a special gift for her. Evidently, Sister Grant is not real big on flowers, so a 24-pack of Pepsi. And there's a card with a gift inside of it, and we want to wish Sister Grant. Let's stand, and let's wish Sister Grant a happy birthday. Amen. So Sister Grant's going to pick this up later. Nobody touch it. If you would, remain standing. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We do have a couple requests. We want to pray for Monica, a co-worker of Sister Victoria. She was in a bad motorcycle accident, and she's given less than 72 hours to live. She has bleeding on the brain. So we want to pray for Monica for a miracle, and we also want to pray for Roberto. This is Sister Victoria's father. He's having radiation treatment for a growth on his neck. So it's not cancerous as far as we know, but it's nonetheless two very serious situations. Let's pray for the remainder of this service and trust that God is going to do a great work with Brother Ben Smith ministering the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we love you, God. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. We thank you, God, that we are able to know you in the power of the Holy Ghost and that you have given us that wonderful name of Jesus. In that name, Lord God, we come to you on behalf of Sister Victoria, and we pray for Monica, Lord, that even by your word, by your spirit, by your presence in her life, oh God, you can touch this woman and perform a miracle in her body, Lord. Even by faith in this prayer, in Jesus' name, we release that word. We speak it according to the word of God and according to the authority that you have given us. In Jesus' name, we claim this healing. We release it. We pray, oh God, for Roberto, oh Lord, for healing in his body, for healing of this growth on his neck. There are so many possibilities that are negative, but there's one possibility, God, that we know is greater. And we know, God, that you can touch him. You can heal him. You can completely take away this condition. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, and we claim it by the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, oh God, for your hand upon the remainder of this service, upon Brother Ben Smith, that your blessing and anointing would rest upon him, that the Spirit of God would have, that you would have your way in all that we do the remainder of this service, and we will give you the glory, we'll give you the honor in Jesus' name.
Amen. Nothing can separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails, and you stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm not afraid. joy that never fails. No more. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to.
Can we do that for Jesus all over the house? Amen. How many know that His love never fails? His mercy are fresh and anew every morning. His touch, His love, His grace. It's there. He's as close as a mention of His name. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for your prayers. We will do our best to keep you posted, but do keep Monica in your prayers. She's a co-worker. We've been able to witness to her over the last school year. On Sunday, her and her boyfriend had went out for lunch, and they were riding back on a motorcycle. A car pulled out in front of them. He dislocated his shoulder and got some road rash, and she was throwing off the bike and got severe brain injuries. I was able to go up to the hospital. She's in Mercy Hospital in Janesville. I was able to go up there on Monday, pray with her and pray with their daughter. She was stable on Monday and Tuesday. They had reduced her coma from a 60% coma down to a 20%. But as of this morning, they had noticed some additional swelling on the left side of her brain along with some bleeding. And as of this morning, they gave her 72 hours to live. But we know that Jesus is able. Amen. He is a great physician. He is a maker of the body. And we believe that God will open a door that we can be a light and witness to the entire family through this. And again, Victoria's father, some of you may not know this, but Victoria's father, the reason you heard the name Roberto, his last name is Gonçalves. He's actually Brazilian, and he lives down in Brownsville, Texas. He had a growth on his neck. They've removed it twice. It's non-cancerous, but the doctors told him they cannot remove it a third time because there's no more skin left there to remove. So he is now having radiation. So do keep him in prayer, and we'll keep you up to date on both of these as God continues to work and move. Thank you for everybody that's been praying for our house. It's been a long, busy journey. I'm going to preach my guts out tonight, as I usually do. But we poured 13 and a half yards of cement yesterday, so I am slightly tired. But God is good. We move in on Saturday, so thank you, everybody, for all your prayers and for all that you've done. When you have to do stuff, whether you're selling a home, renovating a home, buying a home, I just want to encourage you, keep the work in the church. I want to thank my parents for all their help. I want to thank Aaron Renvick for him coming out and doing all the prep work for the garage base and helping us finish all the cement. I want to thank Jim Rivas for coming out and doing the electrical, Kelvin Wells for coming out and doing the heating and cooling, and Marvin Renvick is scheduled in the future to come out and do all the plumbing. So keep it in the church. Amen. I want to thank all of them for all their hard work there, and everybody here for your prayers. God is good. Tonight I want to talk to you. I know it's a Wednesday night. I know we're generally tired. I already told you I'm tired. I'm going to be mindful of the time, but I'm going to ask you to preach with me tonight. We've now been here 2 years, 9 months since we moved off the mission field and transitioned back to the States. I believe I've been here long enough that you know who I am and what I'm about, that I love you, I believe in you, but I'm going to preach straight to you and I'm going to preach direct tonight. And I'm preaching about our eternal value. And before we get into it, I want to give you an object lesson of something of value. And I give credit to one of my mentors, Dr. James Hughes, out of Texas Bible College and lives down in Texas. He used this object lesson down in Antigua, and I'm going to use a similar one. Mind you, this is based off a real story. This is not a real diamond. And I know out here it's hard to see. But if this were a real diamond, there's actually 9 diamonds this size that are real in the world. They're called Terra diamonds. They're valued between $60 and $300 million. So this one is not real. I wish it was. So no one come running up afterwards. But yes, they are 9 diamonds. 2 of them belong to the Queen of England. 2 of them are in the Smithsonian, and the other 5 are in collections throughout the world. But if you had a diamond like this, worth between $60 and $300 million, where would you keep it? Would you set it on your coffee table? You know, put it on display for everyone to come see, right? Maybe set it in the dining room window, that way, you know, with the light, you know, can kind of reflect off the diamond. You know, enjoy it, right? Wouldn't you do that? Maybe some of you ladies would like it for a wedding ring. It'd be pretty ostentatious, but you know, you could get a massive, huge Terra diamond for a wedding ring, if your fiance has $60 to $300 million, and there's only 9 available, and most of them are locked up in vaults. And you can see 4 of those 9 if you're willing to pay the money. But why wouldn't you leave it out there? Because it's valuable. And if someone knew you had it, they would come and steal it. So if it's, you have something value, what do? You protect it. You'd probably go to a bank and get a safety deposit box, and you would lock it up there so it'd be kept in the bank's vault. You would have a key. The bank manager would have another key. Why? Because it has value to you. Understand, anything that has value, you're going to treat it with value or respect. The only way you can treat something disrespectfully is to first devalue it. You never damage anything till you first deem it worthless. And tonight I'm going to be talking about our eternal value. Understand, you'll never hurt a person around you until you first take away their value. So many times people say, well, you know, they treat me like I'm worthless. People, based on our own self-image of ourselves, is how others will treat us. If we feel that we're worthless and we're defeated and we're not worth anything, the people around us are going to pick up on how we view and value our own self, and they're going to treat us in kind. But also, if we see that we're value and have respect for ourselves, the people around us are going to treat us with value and respect. You know, how we value the Bible determines how we treat the Bible. And understand, Satan knows that he cannot, once we come into relationship with God, Satan knows that he cannot sever that relationship between us and God. It is wholly divine. Satan was created by God. He is not above God, and he cannot stop anything. Whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And Satan cannot stop what God has joined together in relationship with his church. So what the enemy tries to do is he comes in and he works among you, and we're going to be talking about a few things, but the first thing I'm going to start off with is value. Because see, if he can get me upset with my brother or my sister, if he gets me ticked off at Pastor Seidel, then guess what's going to happen? God's going to get upset with me. Because God says, if I have aught with my brother, leave your gift at the altar, go make it right. First, I got to say, hey, Pastor Seidel, I'm sorry, me and you, you know, we didn't see eye to eye. You know, please forgive me, I'm going to try better. But if I just say, you're wrong, I'm right, I know what I'm doing, God talked to me, I don't need Pastor Seidel, then God's going to say, okay, you don't need him, then you're not going to need me either. Because I work in unity and harmony. How wonderful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. But that's only going to work if I see the value of my brother. If I see how value the leadership and the covering over my life is. I can't get to heaven by myself. We need each other. And so I see value in Pastor Seidel, so I'm going to submit myself to him. I'm going to work to do what he teaches me and guides me and as he leads me, because I believe in him and I appreciate him. Understand, in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 1, God spoke to his church through the prophet Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me there. Isaiah 62 and 1, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. How many know when we're baptized we bear a new name? Which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be crowned with the glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this service. Thank you, God, for what you've given me. Let me preach it as you've given it to me, Father. Let us receive it and grow thereby. Have your way. Let all glory and honor go to you, God. We'll give you all glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us don't know what a royal diadem is. It's an old English word, but it's similar to the phrase diamond, similar to what this is. And we are a royal diadem or a royal diamond in God's hand. And how many know that? Have you anyone here ever seen a diamond in the raw before it's been cut and carved and created? It's very unassuming. It doesn't glimmer or shine. It doesn't look like what you see in the store. But once a skilled jeweler or craftsman has come in there and he's polished and he's cut and he's carved that diamond just so it will glimmer and it will reflect light. Well, in God's hand, we are his royal diadem. He carves in us things in life, and it's not always easy. Many people know that diamonds are one of the hardest substances in the world. It takes very sharp instruments to cut on them. And there are things in our life that may not always seem convenient, but God removes them for our benefit because he wants to see us grow and he wants to bless us. Amen? Isaiah 62 and verse 4, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. He's given a promise to Israel. He's saying, if you'll live for me, if you'll be called by my new name, if you'll be that royal diadem in my hand, then your land will no longer be forsaken and you'll no longer be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah and thy land Beulah. For any of those that have been in Pentecost, remember the old Pentecostal song, Beulah Land. I got a few people that remember it. Amen. That's going back quite a few years. But and thy land, Beulah, for the land delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yet that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand, and by the arm of his strength shall surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of strangers shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highways, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, there was a whole lot in that lengthy reading. I encourage you, go back through this coming week and just marinate on it. Study this in Isaiah 62. But God was giving specific promises to the nation of Israel. He said, if you'll let me carve you, if you'll let me work on you, I will produce a value within you like none other. I will heal your land. I will bless you. I will reward you. But it required that they were called by a new name, that they walked in his holiness, that they were called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, the sought out. All these terms, if you look and study the Bible, you'll see many of them, and if not all of them, have New Testament significance. We are called by a new name in baptism. We were bought with a great price. Excuse me. But please understand, no one's here by accident. When you were conceived, between 40 million and 300 million different possibilities race toward that egg in your mother, and God uniquely picked the one that you needed to fulfill all that he called and purposed you to be, for where he placed you and for what he called you to do. In all the billions of people, no one has the same fingerprints or retinas that you have. Why? Because you have an eternal value that God placed on you, a value beyond this world. The Bible says the price of one soul is worth more than the whole world. God would have gave his life on Calvary for just one soul because he loves you that much. You are that valuable to him. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, I'm worth more than that terra diamond. I'm worth more than everything this world has to offer to my Lord. And I want you to say that again to your other neighbor, but this time say it like you believe it. Actually speak that. You know why some of you are struggling saying that tonight? Because we live in a world that's devalued everything. It's devalued our manhood. It's devalued our womanhood. And I'm not a woman, so I can't speak from it. But it's told you need all these things to make you beautiful and special and right. Amen, somebody. Remember, I said I need you to preach with me. I will get you out by a certain time if you preach with me. If you don't preach with me, we're going to be like midnight and someone's going to have, like Paul, and someone's going to have to get on a window. And So preach with me if you will. Thank you. But we live in a world that's devalued everything. There's nothing left of value in this world. If it goes against their agenda, if they're like it, and it changes every week, there's a new fashion. You look at, remember what was in back in the 80s and the 90s and even the early 2000s? You know, the 2010s for some of you younger ones? It's all changed. It's already old. It's outdated. Now, I know certain things like classic cars come back in. But it's always trying, the world is always trying to sell you something. This will make you happy. This will make you happy. Why? Because they don't have value, because without God, there is no value. But through God and with God, you become worth more than this entire world. You become worth more than anything that you could ever even place a price on. But with that being said, there's people sitting next to us that are valuable too. But do we see our brothers and sisters in church, in Calvary and in the Wisconsin district and in the U.S. and around the world, do we see them with that same value that God sees them? Amen? Do I look at Pastor Seidel like God looks at Pastor Seidel? Do I see the value in this man of God that God sees? Some days I may. Some days I know I fall short because I'm human. Then I have to ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive me and help me to see through his eyes what he sees in Pastor Seidel and Pastor Grant and Bishop and Pastor Phil and Pastor Sand. And, you know, God has given us these great leaders. And I'm so appreciative to be able to serve with them and fellow members on serving here at Calvary with us. But then now I'm going to ask you to take it one step further. Do we see the value that's in our world? Our world is filled with valuable souls. And God sees their value and their potential. But do we look at that Saul and say, he's going to persecute me. He's going to put me in prison if I go talk to him about Jesus. He's going to throw mud at me. I love my father and mother, and I've shared this before, but when my father came to God, he was a no-account pig farmer. They taught him a Bible study in his living room, and he'd sit there with his chew cup, and he'd chew and spit while they're teaching him a Bible study. Couldn't read or write. God taught him how to read out of the Bible. And now God uses him overseas doing missions work. But did his Bible study teacher see that when he was sitting there? Sister Meyer, you know, we call him Mom and Dad Meyer. They pastored up in Hartford for many years. You know, I'll be honest, they've said this. They didn't see the value when they first saw it, but they allowed God to lead them. And see, we all can get offended. The Bible says offenses are going to come. It's not a matter of if, it's not a matter of when, it's not a matter of even how. They're going to come. Be assured that I'm probably going to offend you at least once between now and Jesus coming. You may offend me too. That's what the Word of God says. I'm not trying to offend you. I hope and pray and believe that you're not trying to offend me. But part of living together with siblings and offenses come. Amen? But understand, with that being said, hell's greatest tactic to destroy and stop the church is to bring that offense in the body to devalue us, and then he uses two very powerful tactics. The first one is he wastes our time. Now, this is where I said, remember, I've been here 2 years and 9 months, and I grew up in this church, and I hope you still love me after this message is done. I love you, that's for sure. But understand, there's lots of things we do that we enjoy, and I don't have a problem with them, but they really have no value. Now, there many of us have hobbies. Many of us have pursuits, whether, you know, there's lots of things we do for entertainment. They have social media, they have online gaming, all these things that are there to fill our time, but they have no eternal value. Now, I'm going to be very transparent. Most of you don't know this, but when I was overseas, I used to do a lot of online gaming. And my parents challenged me. They said, if you want to play online, play those video games, that's fine, but you're going to pray as much as you play. So if you want to play an hour a day, then you got to pray an hour a day. Young people, I challenge you to that. And I'll be transparent, I didn't always do that. I wasn't always faithful. Sometimes I fudged the numbers a little bit. But I challenge you. I'll tell you what, it grew my prayer life. Because I said, okay, I want to play that game. I want to get to the next level. So I'm going to pray extra long today. Found things to add to my prayer list to grow. So I'm not saying these things are wrong or sinful, but I'll tell you what, they'll distract you from the purpose of God. I didn't win any souls playing games. I enjoy going hunting. I went out to Colorado elk hunting last year. I enjoy it. I will say we did pray for a guy to get the Holy Ghost. So we did partially work on getting some souls saved. But I didn't really get a whole lot of souls saved while sitting out there with a gun in a stand trying to find an elk. But it was nice and relaxing. I got a lot of prayer time. Got to read a lot of books I've been wanting to read while I'm sitting there waiting for an elk to walk by. But understand, we do all these things. But do you hear where I'm coming from? I'm not trying to take away from your entertainment, your passions, your hobbies, but I'm trying to let you see where the real value is. The value is not in things. We just bought a house. I'm appreciative of it. But there's not really any eternal value in that home. It's going to break up. It's going to, over time, it's going to need repairs. It's not going to live forever. But that soul that's within inside of a human being, Pastor said, that's going to live forever. And see, the only thing I can take to heaven is a brother and sister in the Lord. I can't take that home to heaven. I'm blessed. I got a nice truck that I did buy it, but it got it through my grandpa, and I'm appreciative of that truck, but I'm not taking that truck to heaven. But I can take a soul with me to heaven. But now comes the challenge. When we're living in this journey, civilians sometimes have rivalries, and sometimes you get hurt and offended. And I'm going to talk about it briefly, and I'm going to let you go home tonight. And I still love you. But Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7 says, Matthew 18 and 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? He thought he was doing really good. If I'll forgive you, Pastor Seidel, if I forgive you seven times, oh, look at me, man, I'm a big man. And God looked at him and said, really, Peter? Not seven times, but 70 times seven. 490 times in a single day, I got to be willing to forgive you, Pastor Seidel. And Pastor Seidel, let me get along great. He didn't do anything to me, but see, he's up here, and I know I can pick on him, and he shouldn't get offended at me, at least I hope not. If you do, let's see me after service, and we'll make it right. Understand, 490 times in a single day, and there's 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes. That means if I was to forgive you, Pastor Seidel, 490 times, I would have to forgive you every 2.94 minutes. Now, I don't know about you. Some of these young people may be able to stay up for 24 hours. Those years are kind of behind me. I like to get at least 8 hours of sleep every night, so that gets me down to 16 hours in a day. You know, 8 hours for sleep, that leaves me with 960 minutes. That means if you would go trespass against me 490 times, I'd have to forgive you every 1.96 minutes. That's some tough medicine. That's a lot of offenses, that's right. Every one, so within every 2 minutes, I'm going to have to forgive somebody, that same person, over. And over, and guess what? His mercies are new and afresh every morning, so tomorrow it starts all over again. Excuse me. So what are we doing with offenses? In Matthew 18 and 23, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay his lord, commanded him to be sold. Notice this. He didn't have enough to pay his lord. He had a debt of 10,000 talents. His lord said, hey, you're going to prison, but not only you, your wife, your kids, and all that you have. Because that's a message for another time. I'm not going to get on it. But offense never touches one area of your life. If you read in the Bible, it talks about a sycamine tree. It's not a sycamore tree. Most times we read that and see sycamore. It's a sycamine tree. A sycamine tree is one of the most prolific trees you've ever seen. You can cut off a branch and stick it in the ground, and it'll grow. It's what they make caskets out of in many places in the world. And it sends its roots 3 to 4 times deeper than a tree is. And then it sends up. You can get a whole forest from one tree. And the Bible says, at least any root of bitterness spring up defiling. Then it talks about it being as a sycamine tree. Understand, we can't allow that root of bitterness to spring up and defile us. Because it's not just going to affect us, it's going to affect our family, our kids, everything that we have, to many generations down the road. Verse 26, a servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, when we hear 10,000 talents, it doesn't sound like, it sounds like a lot. But, you know, nowadays, you know, you buy a house, and most houses are, you know, upwards between 90,000 to over, you know, $750,000. And so 10,000, that doesn't sound like that much. But let me put into modern day terms. In the Bible, whenever you see talents, a talent was always generally 100 pounds of silver, unless specifically mentioned that it was another type of precious metal. It was always silver. And it was always 100 pounds, except there's a few rare occasions where it went up to about 125 pounds. So I did the math, so you don't have to. 10,000 talents of silver. Now, precious metal isn't a 16-ounce pound. It's a 14.58 troy, whatever it is, troy ounce. And at today's going rate, I checked it today to make sure I had it right. 1 ounce of silver is going at $27.86 per ounce. So 10,000 talents, you do the math on all the how many pounds and ounces and all that stuff and figure it out. It's $404,303,400 at today's current price. This gentleman had a $404 million debt. That's more than the entire cost of the Roman Empire to run the Middle East during that time in a single given year. This was a massive, massive, massive debt. And he fell down on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me. I'll do my best. I'll repay it. I'm sorry. And his Lord looks at him and has compassion. And he forgives it. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's $15. So he just got forgiven $404 million, and now he finds someone that owes him $15. And he says, payest me what that thou owest me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Did the same thing that he did. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should have paid the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have had pity on thee? Now, hold on a minute. Here's what I want you to understand. If we don't see the value, let me go in verse 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. If we don't see the value that is in our brothers and our sisters, we're not going to treat them with the value that God's intended for us to treat them with. Amen? And offenses will take place. But you know what? If we won't show forgiveness, God won't forgive you. You don't often hear that preached. I know that's not a shout and run the aisles kind of message. But if I can't forgive Pastor Seidel for the things he said about me, then God says, you know what? I'm not forgiving you. Well, that's kind of hard, Ben. Can you really prove that? Yeah, I can. Matthew 18 and 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. So I can't say, well, you know, I like you, Seth, so I'm going to forgive you. But, well, I don't like you, so I can't forgive you. And I like you, so I'll forgive you. But I can't do that. I have to forgive every one of my brothers, all my sisters. Doesn't matter what you did to me. Doesn't matter what names you called me, what you said behind my back. I have to forgive everyone, because if I won't forgive you guys, God's not going to forgive me. Now, how many here want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. But I got to see the value that's in working together. That's in unity. Because, see, one can put 1,000. But when I can link up with arms with somebody, when I can join together and say, hey, you know what? I can do 1,000, but together, we're gonna go chase the enemy, and we're not gonna chase 1,000. We're gonna chase 10,000, and you know what? Then we're gonna find someone else, and we're gonna get 100,000, and we're gonna get somebody else, and we're gonna get 1,000,000. Thank you. Because working together is so much more powerful than working alone. I don't know about you, but it's quite boring and lonely when you're doing a job by yourself. But there's something that comes, something that just comes on the inside. I don't know, we've been doing a lot of work at the house, and sometimes you get there and you're working, you're like, come on, where's somebody else to help me? But then someone else comes up and you start doing a job together. And so I got a second wind. I can do this because we're doing it together, together, together. Come on, somebody look at your neighbor and say together. Understand, you're too valuable to me to be offended with. You're too valuable for me to have offense against you. The world says you're justified if they offended you. You can hold a grudge. It's okay. You can get even. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. I don't care if you have them dead to rights. It's not worth your soul. Because if I won't from my heart forgive you, and what is true forgiveness? True forgiveness, if I can't look at the person that's wronged me, Pastor Sida, like Jesus and like Stephen, and say, God, I not only do I want you to forgive them, I do not want this to be laid on their account. I don't want them to stand in judgment and have to answer for what they did to me. That's true forgiveness. Understand, no one in Jesus' day around the cross, no one in Stephen's day as they were stoning him to death asked to be forgiven. But from the depths of their heart, from the love that was bestowed upon them, they said, you know what? You may not want my forgiveness, but I'm not going to stand up in judgment against you, because the Bible says, blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And there's more I have to gain in my inheritance than I will lose by holding that grudge. Hear me, somebody. I'm not here to fight against you. I'm here to fight with you. Because together, I know I'm saying the same thing quite a lot, but I want you to get it. Together. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, together. We can do this together, but we got to let go of offenses. We got to let go of hurts. We got to let the enemy stop wasting our time. We got to let the enemy stop distracting us and making us feel defeated and give up. No, it's not a waste of time. I'm telling you tonight, under the unction and the authority of the Holy Ghost, that it's time for Calvary Gospel Church to rise up as born again believers, men and women of God, and walk in authority, walk in boldness, walk in our God-given destiny. It's time for the church to move. But you hear me, Calvary Gospel, whenever there is a multicultural, multigenerational, multiracial church, there is going to be every attack of hell, because hell can't stand unity. Hell can't stand when you find someone that's different than yourself and you say, let's get together. We may not look the same. We may not act the same. We may not talk the same. But when I can find somebody and I can join together and I can say, we're going to work together in unity. We're going to reach the lost. We're going to preach the gospel. No, we may not say everything the same, Brother Thompson, but there's still one God, and his name is Jesus. There's still only one plan of salvation. No, we might not all dress the same. We might not all act the same. No, we may have different personal convictions, but there's something powerful about when we can get together. Because I'll never reach what I'm called to reach, Pastor, by myself. But I need you. And I'm trying to be careful. I know there's COVID. I tell you what, the hardest thing is me staying back there. Because Jesus reached me where I'm at. I'm not here trying to deliver you a sermon. I'm trying to preach to you from my heart what God's instilled in me. Jesus, he never, there's a few times he got on the boat and he preached because of the multitude. He couldn't get close. But every time you look at Jesus, he wanted to get in the crowd. He wanted to get where he could be touched. God, help us as a church if we ever get to a place where we're too holy to touch the lost. I don't got all this together, but I'm here to find an elder and a brother that I can link up with, Brother Hawk, that I can say we can do it together, because we're in this together. When you get, if you don't like interracial mixing of this group and that group, you ain't gonna like heaven, because there's gonna be every people out of every nation, every creed, every color, every tongue. Come on, somebody. But I got to get over that offense. It's not worth holding on to. It's not worth holding on to because they're more valuable to me. They're more valuable to the kingdom. Listen, Ephesians 6 and 12, I'm closing if the musicians can come. Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, having done all to stand. You know what the Bible says when I see a brother fall? You know, we like it where it says you can rebuke him. It's true. It makes our flesh feel good. But I don't rebuke him to publicly shame him. I say, get that armor on. You need that shield of faith. Let's go. The darts are coming, and I can't do it alone. You hold up the shield, and I'll get the sword out there, and we'll fight together. Then when I get tired, I'll hold the shield up, and you take the sword, and you go out there, and you fight, and I got your back. You don't know the power. When I laid in that hospital bed and the doctors didn't give me hope, you don't know the amount of power I felt as the church around the world began to lift me up in prayer. I don't know how to describe it more than I felt the prayers of the saints of the Most High God. I felt them hovering over that ICU room when they said, you have no chance of hope. You know, this massive brain tumor is going to kill you. But I said, I have a God. And I can feel the hope. I guess where would I have been if I didn't have a body praying for me? Where would I have been if I held that offense against him? Two scriptures and I'm closing. I didn't give you these to you in the back, but Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more? Somebody say that with me tonight. I know it's Wednesday, but how much more shall your heavenly or shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? But I got to ask him without bitterness. I got to ask him without malice. I got to ask him without envy. I got to ask him without hatred. Give us a clean heart, O Lord. Matthew 6 and 33, my last scripture. Stand with me all over the house. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I stand with you, Pastor Seidel. I believe it's time for the church to move. We are fixing to see the greatest, most unprecedented revival in Dane County, Wisconsin District, the United States of America, in this worldwide harvest, because it was prophesied in the book. And my God's not a liar. But he needs me to get my heart right, to get my mind and my focus right. Because if I have set my hand to the plow, look back, not worthy. Don't let the enemy get you to look back tonight. Whether it be offense, whether it be, I don't know what is in your life, but I know the Holy Ghost spoke to me as sure as day on this message and gave me clear instructions on what to speak tonight. And tonight we're going to come down to this altar. They're going to begin to sing in just a minute. Thank you for playing. You can keep playing. But here's what I want you to do. Whether you have it or not in your heart, I'm going to ask you whether you want to come down to this altar where you're at. Will you open your heart to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't want to live with this hatred, this hurt, this malice, this bitterness, this anger, this envy, this wrath, this doubting, this fear. I don't want to live it anymore. I want to live an overcoming life. I want to be more than a conqueror through Christ. But guess what? It's not going to be by my might or by my power, but it's going to be by his spirit. And his spirit won't dwell in an unclean house. So I got to get here right. I got to keep here right. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And guess what, young people? The days I prayed more, good things came out of here. The days I played more, I struggled with what came out of here. But you know what? In the day and age, it's not just the young people playing games and looking at entertainment. Adults, hear me tonight. We're their example. What example are we setting? Again, I said there's nothing wrong with your hobbies, but don't let them take more than God. Let God have preeminence. Let him have first priority in your life. I've said enough. We're going to go to God in prayer. So I ask you, if you want to come to this altar, if you want to pray where you're at, but will you simply say, God, I need a clean. It doesn't matter. You don't need a fancy prayer. Just a simple talk to him. The Holy Ghost is already in this house and he wants to move in a powerful way. They're going to begin to sing. And as they do, you know what? I feel in the Holy Ghost. You can keep playing. But before you sing, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith over you. There's a supernatural presence in this house tonight. God wants to unloose some chains. God wants to take this church as is ready to move to the next level. Doesn't matter what's been said over your life, you're valuable. I don't care what father or mother or friend or coworker or classmate said, you're valuable to me. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to CGC. You have a purpose. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. Come on, we rebuke all those lies of the enemy that cause us to do things, to look different, to act different. You have a purpose. You have a value. God loves you. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for the spirit we feel in this house tonight. Right now, I take authority under the unction of the Holy Ghost. By the word of God and the power of the name Jesus, and I bind every fear. I bind every lie of the enemy. I bind every lie that has tried to creep into this church and the lives of its members and its future members. We take authority. We speak liberty. We speak life. We speak freedom. We speak value in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, if you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to let it to flow and minister right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, prophesy over your life right now. God, I speak value over the lives of those here tonight and watching online. I speak purpose right now. Come on, those of you that have the Holy Ghost, let a spirit of intercession take over as God begins to place the value that you are created. You. Come on, that's it. I feel him moving all over the house and online. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, have your way, have your way, have your way, Jesus.
I just wanna move.
Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Let us run the race with patience. For many of us, that unforgiving spirit is one of those things that just, we can't get started on a race because we can't lay that thing aside. We need to, we can't run in this race if we're carrying unforgiveness. God, help us to surrender every hurt. Put it under the blood in Jesus' name. Praise God. Remember, Sunday is Father's Day. Bring your father, your husband, and make sure they get signed up for the drawing. You can put my name in an extra time or two if you want. Amen. Pastor Peter Sandin has organized the special Father's Day service. We're going to have some special speakers, some that you don't normally hear. One of which will be the other John Grant, who is going to speak to us. I'm sorry, I should know the other. I know the other two, but I can't recall who they're going to be. But it's going to be a great, great service. Please bring a guest. Bring your father. Let's enjoy the fellowship and the word of God that he has in store for us. God bless you. Have a great week in Jesus' name. And happy birthday, Sister Graham, one more time.